Begin the current daf Masech the Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Hey. We begin four lines up from the top of the Yomid, but the Gemara continues discussing the theme of the previous daf from the statement of Shmuel regarding the halachas of Shechita. Specifically, which our Gemara begins, Amar B'Yirmiya, Ketanoi, let us say that this statement of Shmuel regarding if a mashka habola oichel, regarding a liquid that's being squeezed out of a solid that's going into another solid, to another food item, do we say that it therefore is as Shmuel said on the previous daf, that it has the halachic status of an oichel, and therefore you're never really qualifying this as a mashka in any state, although it's going from this solid, let's say a grape, into this food. So when it's in the flow, it's a liquid form. But since it's going into the food item, we view it as a food, and therefore, regarding, for example, the halachas of shechita, it would not be mefarik. You would not be unloading a liquid from a solid. Rather, it would be one form of food item, which is not in the halachic aspect of dash of shechita of mefarik. Or would we say that no, that it is a mashka, that it's since although it's going to be in the solid, however, for now it's a liquid, and therefore, for example, for the halachas of shechita, it would be a problem. So therefore, the Gemara wants to say that this statement of Shmuel is really a machlekes tanoim. As we learned in the Mishnah of Maestros, hamachlik ba'anovim, if someone smooths his breads with grapes, and that is, for example, a baker that they would smooth the surface of the loaves of bread with grapes, and they would squeeze out the liquid from the grapes on top of the loaf of the bread, it would give a crispy covering to the bread. So the halacha is loy hochshur. So the food items are not considered prepared with the liquid of the grapes, although regarding the halachas of tumah, a food item has to become susceptible to tumah by becoming in contact with one of the seven liquids, and therefore the grapes, that liquid that's coming out of it, would generally be considered a liquid to make a food item susceptible to tumah. However, over here, where since the grape juice is going directly into a food item, which in this case is the loaves of bread, therefore it's not going to be considered a mashka to make the food item susceptible to tumah. However, Rabbi Huda says, no, that the food items are considered prepared and susceptible to tumah because they came in contact with the grape juice that was squeezed out of the grapes onto the loaves of the bread. And that the Gemara says, and this is what Rabbi Yirmiyah is coming to say, my lav b'hokim mifli, isn't this that they're arguing about this exact statement of Shmuel? Mar Sava, the Tanakama held mashka b'lo oichel regarding a liquid that goes directly into an oichel. In other words, it was being squeezed for the purpose of the food. For example, in this case, where they were squeezing the grape with the intention for it to go onto the bread, onto the surface to be able to make it crispy. Oichelhu, that has the status of an oichel, and therefore doesn't have the status of being grape juice as a mashka, and therefore will not make any food items over here, the bread or the grapes, susceptible to tumah because, again, it's not coming in contact with a beverage, with a liquid, with a mashka, rather, with a food item, because it has the status of mashka bal oichel. Oichelhu has the status of a food item already. Umar Saba, however, Behud held no lav oichel, who does not have the status of an oichel. It's a liquid, although it's going into a food item and you're squeezing it specifically for a food item, but still you can't deny that it's a mashka, it's a beverage, and therefore it will make the bread or the grapes that it's touching susceptible to tumah. And that the Gemara says, Amra Papa argues, and he says, you can't prove that this is the machlekes over here in the Mishnah Maaseh, that it's a machlekes tanoim in the statement of Shmuel. And that is, the kuli alma mashka bal oichel lav oichel. In truth, everyone disagrees with Shmuel. Some Rishonim have the girsa that everyone agrees to Shmuel, but either way, he's trying to say that the point is that that's not what they're arguing about. Rather, you could say that it is considered a beverage, that they disagree with Shmuel, it's not an oichel, and it is a liquid. So what is the machlokes? V'hocha b'mashka boli ibid kemifkli, what they're specifically arguing about over here, that you're right, it is a mashka. No one considers because it's going into a food item that it's not a liquid and that we already see it as a food before it even landed on the food. Rather, here what we're discussing is because although it's a mashka, but it's going to waste. And the machlokes is as follows. Mar Sava Mashkahu, Rabbi Huda held that although it's going to go to waste and it's not going to be maintained, however, for now we still view it as something substantial, as a beverage, and therefore it can make something prepared, Hochshur Latoma. Umar Sava Lav Mashkahu, but the Tanakhama held that no, it's not considered a beverage. And that is because since originally when it was squeezed out was with the intention that it's going to go to waste because over here the grape juice is not going to be here anymore. The fire is going to draw it out and burn it when it's going to land on the loaf of the bread. And therefore, although it's going to give a crisp to the bread, but the actual grape juice is going to disappear. Therefore, we cannot view it as a mashka because since it's going le'ibud, it's going to go to waste. We don't view it as something substantive and therefore it cannot make anything hochshul l'tumah. And as Rav Papa continued, he says, and this I'm telling you, that this is the machlokes tanoim, not the way you wanted to say that they're arguing in the statement of Shmuel, if we view a mashke bala oichel as ka'oichel or not, but rather everyone agrees that it is a mashke, but there a machlokes is regarding if it's hoylich le'ibid, if it's going to waste, that there we find, this is what they're arguing about, if it's going to be considered a mashke not, ubeplukta dan tanoi, as we find other tanoim argue on the same exact point, titanya is learnt na braisa. If someone is banging the olives, and for that purpose is that it should make it soft, be a dime miso ovis, but if he's doing it with impure hands, so then the olives become susceptible to tumah, because when he's banging it, so he's doing it to soften the olive, but he prefers the olive oil that's dripping out of it when he's banging it, because then it adds flavor to the olives. So though he's banging it for the purpose of just to soften it, but he likes the oil that's coming out, so that's considered lurotzen. So therefore that's a beverage that he wants, and therefore that olive oil can make the olive susceptible to tumah, because now this food item came in contact with one of the seven liquids. However, lesoftim b'melach, but if he's banging it only because it's hard, and therefore the salt is not sticking onto the olives, and he's just banging it to make it soft a little bit on the outside, so then the salt that he wants to eat the olives with can stick onto it, then loy hochsher. Then the olives are not considered prepared and susceptible to tumah, because his intention was not for any purpose whatsoever of the liquid, of the olive oil that's coming out. He didn't even want it to come out. And therefore, that's not like the case of where he was softening it to eat it, that he likes it, that it's giving more flavor. Here, all he wanted is that it should stick to the salt, and therefore he doesn't care at all for the liquid, and therefore it's not considered a liquid lorotzen to be considered a mashke, and therefore will not make the olives susceptible to tumah. Leida migiu zeisav limsoik imlav. Let's say he's banging it to know if the olives are ready to be prepared or not. He wants to see that if the oil there is ready to be squeezed out in the pressing house, and therefore he's banging it to see a little bit of it coming out. However, this liquid is going to go and it's going to fall on the floor. He's not using it to actually consume it, to utilize it, rather just bang it to see what type of oil quality is inside of it, to see if it's ready to be squeezed. So then, loy hochsher, it's not considered prepared, again, because it's going to the waste. It has no substantive form to it. Rabbi Huda says, no, since you want the olive oil to be coming out, you're using it as an assessment, seeing if it's ready to be squeezed, then it is considered a liquid, a mashka, a beverage, and therefore it can make the olive susceptible to tumah. To which Rav Papa continues, says, my love, bok and mifka. Obviously, what they're arguing it about is on the same point. Demar sabar mashka ha'oymed le'ibud mashkahu. And that is, Rabbi Huda is the one that held that when you have a liquid, a beverage that's going to the waste, it doesn't make a difference. It's still considered a mashke, and therefore it will be machshir the olives when you're banging it to be able to see the quality of the olive oil. Since you want it, although it's going to the waste, it's still going to be considered a mashke and make the olives susceptible to tumah. Umar sov alav mashke, however, the Tanna Kamma held that it's not a mashke, and therefore again you see the same machloikas of regarding a mashke ha'oimet le'ibud that's going to be wasted and be thrown out to the garbage. If we view it as a mashke or not, that's the same achloikis that these tanoim that you quoted before in the Mishnah Maestros, they argue in the same point, but not like you, Rabbi Yirmi, wanted to say that they argue on Shmuel's halacha of mashke bala oichel ka'oichel or not. However, now the Gemara brings another amar that argues on Rav Papa in his explanation of the Mishnah in Maestros regarding smoothing the loaf of bread with the grape juice that was being squeezed onto it. As the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda b'Yeshua. Hani tanoi, these tanoim of the brisa of a mefatzeya bezesim regarding the person that bangs the olives, there you're right. There I agree to you, Rav Papa b'mashka oimin li'ibud pligi. They're obviously arguing about regarding a liquid that, although it definitely has a status of a liquid, however, if it's going to waste, there is where they argue, as you just explained. However, v'hanach tanoi, these tanoim, in other words, the tanoim from the Mishnah Maisis, regarding smoothing the loaf of bread with the grape juice to give it that crisp, they're not arguing about if you have the liquid going to waste or not, because it's not considered ohoylichli, but it's not going to be wasted, because it's crisping the surface of the bread, and it's giving it that shine, so therefore that's not going to waste. Rather, what they're arguing about over there is b'mashko oimid letzachzuchay kemiflaki. They're arguing about regarding a liquid that's standing to be used as a shine, to shine the food item. There is where they argue, because even if you're going to say that, as we're assuming, not like Shmuel, that mashka bala oichel mashku, that when you have a liquid going into a solid, still we give it the status of a liquid, of a beverage. However, that's only, and that's where the machlokes is about, if you're going to be drinking that liquid together with the food item, or if you're using it as a dip with the bread, then we say it has the status, has the halachic quality of a mashka of a beverage. But here, where you're just using it to crisp and to shine the bread, maybe over there it becomes as part of the meichel, becomes part of the food, and therefore we do view it as a meichel, not as a mashka. That's what they argue about, but they're not arguing about the machlokes regarding hoylech l'ibud, because here it's not hoylech l'ibud when it's being used to crisp the bread, because it's being, as it's becoming a part of the bread. It's not going to the garbage. It's just not in such a liquid form, and that's why they argue, even if we say generally mashka bala oichel is a mashka, it does not become nullified as part of the oichel, but here where it's not even there in the sense, it becomes part of it, it makes a shine, there is where they argue about. So therefore we have three pshatim, three explanations for this machloikas of machlik ba'anofim regarding the baker, that he would take the grape juice and squeeze it out onto the bread. That the first mahalach we had from Rabbi Yirmiyahu was that they're arguing about Shmuel's halach of mashka bala oichel ka'oichel. Do we say that when we see a liquid going into a food item, that we see it as part of the food item already, and therefore has it an oichel, or do we say no, that we view it as a mashka? The second explanation was regarding mashka ha'oimed le'ibud, regarding if it's going to waste, because here it's the liquid is not going to be here anymore. So therefore, a Papa's interpretation was that you're arguing about that, as we find other Tanoim that argue about the same point by Mafatzeya Bezesim, that if it's going to go to waste, do we still view it as a liquid or not? And the third explanation was that no, they're not arguing about that. Rather, they're arguing about, even though we take for granted that they hold not like Shmuel, that a mashka bala oichel is a mashka, although it's in the meichel, we view it as a mashka, but it's only if it's there, it's extant in some form, that it's like a little liquidy there, or that you're dipping in there. But however, if it totally gets absorbed into the item, for example, in this case, where you don't see any grape juice, it just becomes the shine of the surface of the bread, there is where they argue, ha'im le'tzichtuach, that there, do we say that it's still a mashka, or do we say that now it already became ois mashka, became part of the meichel? Now the Gemara continues with this statement of Shmuel and says it in the name of Rav. Amrav Zeru, Amrav Chia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. This was a statement that was said in the name of Shmuel on the previous staff. Seichet Adam Eshkol Shal Anav Mutecha Gedera. A person can squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot. And that was because, as Shmuel had explained, and this is what Rav is saying, essentially the same thing, that a mashka bala oichel is ka'oichel, since it's going into a pot of food. Therefore, although at some point when it's flowing, it's a liquid, but since it's coming from a solid, going into a solid, we view it as one big solid, and therefore you're not doing any schita on Shabbos. It's not really becoming a liquid from a salad. Avalol tech akar, but you can't put it into a plate, because although generally people don't drink from a plate, but it's still not obvious, it's going into, it's gathering in a pool of grape juice on the plate, therefore that would be a problem of schita on Shabbos. However, the daglet tzira, regarding fish for its fish brine, that is, if you're squeezing out a fish to take out the brine, that brine is not considered a beverage in any form, it rather it's considered part of the meichel, part of the food element of the fish, and therefore you could even squeeze it out into a plate. There's no problem of schita by squeezing out the fish's brine. So Yosef Avdimi v'kamal al hoshmaitza. Avdimi was sitting and saying this statement as he said it in the name of Rab. So Amalei Abayler Avdimi, Abay told Avdimi, Atun Mishmeidir Rab Masnitin, you say this statement in the name of Rab, that is the statement that we had originally said from Shmuel with the added element of dagla tziroi, of a fish for its fish brine, that's even mutter, even like a tchila. And therefore you have no questions, you have no problems. Anan mishmei d'Shmuel masninla. But we said this statement that you just said, we say we have a tradition in the name of Shmuel. But kashlo, and therefore we have a difficulty. Because miyam mishmuel daglet tzira filo techa kara. Did Shmuel really say that squeezing out the fish for its brine is mutter, even like a tchila, to squeeze it into a plate, there's no problem whatsoever? V'yidma, but we learned a statement with a machlik samaram that seems to have a contradictory statement in the name of Shmuel. And that is, the machlik is as follows. Kvashim, regarding pickled, that is, you have raw vegetables that are pickled either in wine or in vinegar, shasachtan, that are squeezed out on Shabbos. So therefore, it would seem that possibly there's an element of an isser schita here. You're squeezing out a solid and squeezing out to get the juice out of it. So Amar Rav Sarav explains, legufan, if you're squeezing it out for the vegetable itself, that is, you want to eat the pickled vegetable, so you're squeezing out the liquid that's on the surface and that's absorbed inside of it, then mutter, it's permitted to do that on Shabbos, even like a tchila, because that's not what's called mefarik, that's not extracting. since you don't need the liquid, the beverage whatsoever, you just want to eat the vegetable, and therefore that's not an element of schita, of taking a mashka out of an oichel, because you're not creating a mashka here. You don't want the beverage to give it a chashivus to say that you're actually extracting a beverage. You just want to eat the vegetables like you're squeezing out the extra oil from the kugel. Limimehen, however, if you're squeezing it out, this pickled vegetable, because you want the juice, you want that brine that's inside of it, then potter, you're exempt. That, in other words, that's not mefarik, and that's why you're exempt, because this mashka that's coming out from the pickled vegetables is not really considered a mashka because it didn't grow inside of it. You're not extracting as the malach of dash, which is you're threshing. You're taking out the grain from the chaff. You're separating what was desired from what was undesired. Here, you're not really separating something from where it grew because it was brought into it from an external source. So therefore, you're exempt. Aval aser, but it's still aser midrabanan, because we're concerned you might come to do that by olives and grapes, which are nesa d'oraisa to squeeze out their juices from inside of it. So that's regarding pickled vegetables. The shlokas are regarding boiled vegetables. Bein legufin, bein lemimein mutter. Whether you're squeezing it out because you want to eat the vegetables and they're just too saturated, or whether because you want to have the juice that's inside of it, either way it's going to be mutter, because they're not considered a beverage on any stage whatsoever. Rather, they're always considered an oichel. It all has the status of a food item, and therefore, even if you want it for the liquid, it's no problem. That's the view of Rab. Shmuel, Amr Shmuel says, Echad kvashim ve'echad shlokas. The same halacha applies to both the pickled and to the cooked vegetables. Lagufan mutter, if you're doing it to eat the vegetables themselves, that's permitted, because again, you're not doing it, you're not giving any status whatsoever to the liquid coming out, you don't want it as a beverage. The juice from them, then patal avasa, then he's going to be exempt, but it's still going to be asim drabanan, as we said, because it really came from the external source, it's not really considered the malacha of schita. However, it would be asim drabanan, because on some level we're concerned you might come to do it by zeisim v'anavim. So the difficulty is that the case of shlokas, of the cooked vegetables, is similar in the sense to dag letziru, when you're squeezing out the fish for its brine, because they both became introduced, and on some level they're not really considered mashke at all, and yet we find that Shmuel did not say it's permitted likatchila. He said you're patra, but it's still going to be asim drabanan. So how could we have this tradition that's saying that Shmuel was the one that said dag letziru, squeezing out the fish for its brine, is mutter likatchila, and if we find by shlokas, which is the same equivalent in halacha, that it's not really a mashke, and still he says it's asim drabanan because we're concerned you might do it by zeisim anavim. So Amaleis, Rav Dimi responded to him and said, the holikim, I swear by God, and he quoted him a pasuk in Eve, my eyes saw, and no one else's eyes. In other words, this is what I'm going to want to tell you, that it was said in the name of Rav. I know for a fact that it wasn't Shmuel, and therefore you're right, it's not going to be a challenge, because Shmuel did not say dag letzir is mutter. Our tradition is the correct tradition, that it was in the name of Rav, and Shmuel would hold that it's asim, and that is mipumid Reb Yirmiyah Shmili. I heard it from the mouth of Reb Yirmiyah. Reb Yirmiyah, Reb Zeremiah, Reb Yirmiyah heard it from the mouth of Reb Zeremiah. Reb Zeremiah, Reb Chia Bar Ashi. Reb Chia Bar Ashi, Rav. And therefore, I have a direct link saying that this tradition was in the name of Rav, therefore you should know that it was Rav, not Shmuel, and therefore you don't have that question, because Shmuel, you're right, would not say it's permitted l'ketchila to go ahead and squeeze a dag letzir, just like he says by shlokas, it's not mot l'ketchila, that it's asa midraban. Now the Gemara goes back to elaborate on this machlekes ha-mayroam. Gufa, we learned a three-way machlekes. Kvashim shesachtim, regarding pickled vegetables that are squeezed out on Shabbos. So as we mentioned before, Amar Rav l'gufan mutter, if you're doing it to be able to eat the vegetables, that would make it permitted that you're not creating any beverage when you're squeezing out the liquid out of it. But if you're doing it for the liquid, you actually want that saturated liquid inside of the vegetables, then you're going to be exempt because that's not really schitam, because it didn't come internally from the vegetable. However, it's still asim d'abana because we're concerned you might come to do it by zeisim v'anavim. For shlokas regarding cooked vegetables, bein legufin, bein lemein mutter, whether you're doing it for the vegetables themselves or for the liquid coming out of it, like a good chicken soup on Friday night, that you want to squeeze out that vegetable, it's going to be mutter because it doesn't have the status of mashka in any form whatsoever. Shmuel HaMashmuel says, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, whether kvashim or shlokas, legufin mutter, if you're doing it for the vegetable itself, it's permitted. However, lemein part of alasa, but if you're doing it for the juice that you're squeezing out of it, that you'd be exempt because again, it's not really schita, but it would be asim d'abanan because we're concerned of zeisim anavim. The third opinion, which we did not mention before, Rabbi Yechidin Amar, he said, echad kvashim echad shlokas, whether pickled vegetables or cooked vegetables, legufin mutter, if you're doing it for itself, it's permitted. Lemein chayev chatas, And if you're doing it for the saturated juice that's inside of it, you're chayev achatas, it doesn't make a difference that it was introduced from somewhere elsewhere, because since you're taking a liquid from a salad, that's going to be the issa d'oraisa of dash, of schita, of mefarik on Shabbos. However, the Gemara asks Meisvei, the Gemara asks from on all the opinions from the following Tanoic statement. We learn soicht in kevashim b'Shabbos l'tzercha Shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos if for the distinct purpose of using it on Shabbos. Avaloy l'mat Shabbos, but you can't do it as a preparatory action for after Shabbos. B'zeisim anovim, and regarding olives and grapes, lo yischad, you're not allowed to squeeze it out. V'im sachat chayiv chatas, and if you squeeze it out, you're going to be liable for a chatas. Now the question is that it didn't differentiate whether you're squeezing it out for the vegetables itself or for the liquid that's coming out of it. And it said, you mutter l'katchila to do it. Now that's difficult according to all the three opinions, because there's not one of the three opinions that said that it's mutter l'katchila to go ahead and squeeze out pickled vegetables for the juices. Some wanted to say it's d'oraisa, some wanted to say that it's going to be esed d'rabbanan, but no one said it's mutter l'katchila to go ahead and squeeze out pickled vegetables for the juice on Shabbos. And yet here, it doesn't say that it for what the purpose is, which sounds like even in that scenario, even if you're squeezing it out, the kvashim, you're squeezing out on Shabbos, l'tzercha Shabbos, it's going to be mutter, even if you're doing it, l'mimein. And that the Gemara says, kashal Rav, kashal Shmuel, kashal b'yechon, it's difficult according to all three opinions. To which the Gemara responds, Rav metaretz l'tamei, Rav will answer it according to his opinion. In other words, everyone will interpret it and read it the way it works with their opinion. Shmuel metaretz l'tamei, and Rav yechon metaretz l'tamei, as the Gemara explains. Rav Mataris Latameh, Rav explains according to his opinion, as we mentioned before, Seichnim kevashim b'Shabbos l'tzercha Shabbos, avaloy l'matzah Shabbos. That yes, you can squeeze out pickled vegetables on Shabbos for the purpose of Shabbos, but not for matzah Shabbos. But medeva mamur. Now, when was this said? Although the Braisa doesn't mention it, but lugufa, that was if you're doing it for the vegetable itself. Aval memeh, part of a lasa. But if you're doing it for the Jews, then yes, that would be exempt, but asam drabban mishlokas, and regarding cooked vegetables, then bein leguf and bein lememein mutter, whether if you're doing it for the vegetable itself or whether you're doing it for the juice, it would be permitted because on no level does it have a status of a beverage. However, and this is what the end of the braisa said, v'zeisim anavim lo yischad, that olives and grapes you shouldn't squeeze out. If you squeeze out olives and grapes, that is the issa d'oraisa of schita on Shabbos. That's how Rav interprets the braisa. Shmuel matarz tamei, Shmuel explains according to his opinion, that is seichtim kevashim b'Shabbos l'tzarecha Shabbos. That you could squeeze out pickled vegetables on Shabbos for Shabbos. B'hu adin l'shlakas. And this is where he argues on Rav. But since the Braisa doesn't mention it, this is how he's interpreting it, that the same thing would apply to cooked vegetables. However, b'medvamum, he also gives a b'medvam when was this said. L'gufan, that's only if you're doing it for the vegetable itself. Aval b'mein, pater v'lasa. But if it's for the liquid, then he agrees that it would be pater. Aval asa, it would be asa medrabanum. And that the braisa ended with zeisim anavim lo yischid, that olives and grapes you're not allowed to squeeze. If imsachet chayv chatas, if you squeeze, you're liable for chatas. Then Rabbi Yechon matarz l'tamei, Rabbi Yechon explains it according to his reasoning. Seichnin kavashim l'tzarecha Shabbos or beloy l'matzah Shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze out pickled vegetables for the purpose of using it on Shabbos, but not for matzah Shabbos. And that's echad kavashim echad shlokas. That applies to both pickled and to cooked vegetables. When was this said? Legufan, for when you're using it for the vegetables themselves, but for their juices, then lo yischot, that you're not allowed to squeeze out. And this is what the essay for the Bryce is really going back. It's going back on the Reisha, the way your Birchin is interpreting it, that you're not allowed to squeeze out the vegetables, the pickled and the cooked, if you're doing it for the juice that's inside of it. Vim sachar, and if you did, this is what the words of the Braisa really mean. Nasa kemisha sachar zeisim anavim v'chayiv chatas. Then it's as if the case of when you squeeze out olives and grapes, which in that case, you're liable for a chatas, that would apply even to kavash mishlokas if you're squeezing out levimeim for the Jews, that's Rabbi Yechon's opinion, that's the same equivalent as zeisim anavim, that you're going to be liable for chayiv chatas. That is the issa d'oraisa of schita on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with another statement from Rav Chiya bar Ashi in the name of Rab. That midday raisa, in other words, what the Torah said was forbidden regarding the malacha of schita on Shabbos, you're only liable for the pressing, the squeezing of the olives and grapes on Shabbos, only that. But other types of squeezing, it's not the derech to squeeze them out to get their juice, and therefore that is not the malacha, that's not the malacha of schita on Shabbos. As the Gemara says, v'chein ton b'nei Menashe, d'var Torah, that according to the biblical halacha, in the chayv el al drisa zeisim anav mavad, the halacha of schita really only applies to olives and grapes, which that's the derech, people make grape juice, people make olive oil, And that is the derech to squeeze it. So therefore, that would be applicable as a toilada of dash, of threshing, taking out the grain from the chaff, taking out the liquid from the solid. However, all other fruits is not the issur d'oraisa of schita. Then the b'raisa of Be'emanashe continues with another unrelated halacha, the ein eid mipi eid kasha. And that although we know there's a halacha called eidus, testimony, in Besdin, however, one cannot get a testimony from another eid. One aid cannot tell another aid, and then that aid come to say testimony in Bezdin has to be the direct aidus that the person saw himself. And we continue on to Amud Beis. Ela le'edus ishlova. The only exception to this halacha is that one aid could tell another aid, and that aid could testify is only regarding the testimony regarding a woman. That is to tell a woman that your husband died, where there the rabbanim were more lenient because of the halacha of aguna. And that is, we did not want the woman to be left alone because she's in the status of not knowing if her husband's alive or dead and she can't remarry, she has to stay forlorn by herself. And there the Rabban will lenient, and the reason is because whoever does Kiddushin, whoever marries, does it with the Das, that is according to the protocol of the Rabban, and that's how he does the Kiddushin. And therefore the Rabban have it in their powers to remove the Kiddushin that was initially made by this husband. And therefore in this situation, which is a difficult situation because the Biguna, the Rabban said we will allow one aid saying testimony from another aid to come and say that the husband had died or to say different things regarding that. That is because of the situation that the Rabban have the powers to do that, to remove the Kiddushin. Regarding this topic that was mentioned incidentally by this Braisa, the Gemara asked the following question. The Ibailu, they asked, Eid mi pi eid la eidus b'char. Regarding one aid, one witness, telling another witness, regarding the testimony of a firstborn, ma, what's the halacha? And that is, regarding a bechor, a firstborn, that the firstborn animal has to go to the kohen. So regarding a kohen that got the firstborn, that was given to him by a Jew, by Yisrael, that was a shalom, which has to be brought as a carbon. Yet then a mum, some type of defect, happened to the bechor, to the firstborn animal, which the Gemara in Bechoris explains that the one that's a complete animal has to be brought as a carbon. But if it gets a defect, it doesn't have to be brought as a carbon, it's totally to the kohens. So the Gemara in Bechoris explains that Kahanim are suspect that they're going to put and create a defect in the firstborn, that they don't have to bring it as a carbon and give parts of it to the Mizbeach, rather they get to keep all of it themselves. Therefore, they're not trustworthy to say that this mum, this defect, happened by itself. I didn't do it. And therefore, they have to bring aidus, they have to bring witnesses. If it was given whole, they have to bring witnesses that I didn't do it, it happened on its own. And the Gemara over there says that even a woman is considered kosher to say this testimony, but it has to be some form of witnesses to say that this was not the kohen that had done it, rather it happened by itself. So therefore, they asked him, what is the halacha regarding these witnesses that have to say that this mum, this defect happened by itself, and then the kohen didn't do it? Is the kosher even with one aid telling another aid, and it wasn't a direct aid that had seen it, he heard from someone else that had seen it, and he's coming to tell us in Besdin that it wasn't the kohen that did it. I heard from my friend Reuven, who saw that it happened by itself. So Rav Ami says it's forbidden. Yet you aid me pi aid is not kosher. You have to be the one that have seen that it happened by itself, and not by heard from your friend that saw that it would happen by itself. Rav Asi said it's permitted. It's okay in this case. So Rav Ami said to Rav Asi that you're saying that it's permitted, but Ba'atan Be'Menashe, which is the statement we just mentioned, we learned in that brisa, ein aid me pi aid kosher, ela aidus isha b'vad. The only exception of having one aid being able to say from another aid, that is, when Reuven saw and he told his friend Shimon, and Shimon could go ahead and say the aid is, that's only regarding the issue of Iguna with the Rabbanu and Mekel, that there they allowed to have aid mipi aid kasher, but every other case, including the aid is of Bechar, that say regarding the firstborn animal, that the kohen didn't do it, rather happened by itself, has to be a direct witness, not from your friend. So how can you say here that it's going to be kasher? On that, the Gemara says that he interpreted Ema, you have to interpret that statement, le'edus shehaisha k'sheri labovad. It doesn't mean only for the testimony for the woman. Rather, it means when it says le'edus isha b'vad, means only for a certain type of testimony that even a woman is fit for itself. And that is, generally, women are not kosher to come in Bezdin and say edus. However, this is a case of an exception, as we mentioned before, as the Imam Bukhari says, that even a woman can go ahead and say to aid this and say, I saw that this mum happened by itself. I saw when the cow when it fell, and this is when the mum happened to it, and he didn't create it, even a woman is kosher, that's what it means, Eila Eidaz Yesh Bavad, and therefore that would include even Bukhar, where not only by Yiguna, where a woman is believed, she could say the Eidaz regarding the husband dying, but even in this case, by Bukhar, where a woman also is believed to say Eidaz, that would also be kosher to do Eid, Mipi Eid. It's those types of cases where we're lenient, that even a woman could say Eidaz, that we're also lenient regarding the halacha of Eid, Mipi Eid. So la halacha the Gemara brings la ma'isa that Rabbi Yemer achshir aid mipi aid lebuchar. Rabbi Yemer permitted the one aid saying in, from a different aid to permit the buchar for the kohen with the mum. So kari le merema. Merema said regarding Rabbi Yemer, Yemer shari buchar. Yemer the one who permits firstborns, and that is how can you permit it? He held that it was aser and that he's permitting bucharis without being brought on the mizbeach. However, the Gemara does say v'hilchas aid mipi aid kash lebuchar. That the halach is that it is really kosher by Bukhar, even one aid from the other aid, as Rav Yemer had done. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our mission that spoke about chalas devash, regarding honeycombs that was already crushed from before Shabbos. There was a machlikas in our Mishnah if it's permitted to have the honey that flows out of it on Shabbos or not. So Kiyasa Rav Hoshe min Arda, when Rav Hoshe came from Arda, also v'aisim asnid b'yada, he came and he brought a braisa with him. And the braisa said as follows, Zaysim v'anovim shariskan me'erv Shabbos, regarding olives and grapes that was already crushed from before Shabbos, v'yatsu me'atzman, they came out on itself. So the Tanakhama says, asurin, they're forbidden. Rabbi Laza, Rabbi Shimon matirin, however, Rabbi Laza and Rabbi Shimon say that it's mutter. Through the Gemara asks, Omer Rav Yosef, what was the purpose of this braisa that he brought? Gavri Yaseir is just adding on another person that is in our Mishnah. We already said this machloikis, and we had it in the name of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says that it's permitted regarding something that was already crushed for me before Shabbos, in our case was the honeycomb, that the liquid that comes out by itself on Shabbos, the Tanakhama said that it's aser. Rabbi Lazar said that it's mutter. So an extra person is aser lashmi'inan, is what Rav Hoshe is coming to tell us about. In other words, it seems to be the same exact case of our Mishnah, and all he's adding is that not only Rabbi Lazar matirin, but Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon matirin. What's he coming to teach us, if not that another person, that it's not only Rabbi Lazar, it's also Rabbi Shimon? Why do you have to bring this Bryce and tell us this? It sounds like the same exact cases of our Mishnah. So I'm like, Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, no, tuva kamashman. Rav Hoshe is teaching us a lot by bringing this Bryce from Narda. The email is eaten because if we only had the keys of our Mishnah, Havimina, I would have thought, Hasam hu demikara uchla b'saib uchla. It's only the case of our Mishnah by the chalas devash, by the honeycombs, where originally it was a food item, which is the honeycombs, and then even after it's squeezed out, it's still a food item, because the honey is an eichel, it's not a beverage, it's not a liquid form. And therefore, that's why it's permitted, according to Rabbi Laza, when it flows out by itself. Because again, it was originally an eichel, and now it's still an eichel. However, but here in our case, where it's talking about olives and grapes, where originally it was a solid, it was a food item, an olive and grape, and then became a liquid, grape juice and olive oil, there I would say that even Rabbi Laza would agree that it's going to be aser. That's why he brought it, not to tell us that it's also Rabbi Shimon, not only Rabbi Laza, but to tell us this big chiddush and saying that not only because when it was oichel and then it's oichel that's mutter, even if it was oichel and turned into a mashke, but if it came on its own and it was already resuck, it was already crushed from before Shabbos, there's no problem of mashke and shazavu, there's not going to be any iser attached to the liquid that came out of it on Shabbos. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, talking about the halachas of bishul of cooking on Shabbos. However, specifically that not only is bishul cooking always as classic you would think with a pot and a pan on the fire, rather it's when the item is considered complete and through the different ways of a person preparing the food that it's considered cooked in its own right, then that it's fit to be consumed, that would also be considered the malacha of bishul, as our Mishnah explains. Kol shebo b'chamin me'erev Shabbos, whatever food item was already placed in hot water from before Shabbos, and that is in other words what it means to say that it was cooked. Shari noisa b'chamin b'Shabbos, so that could be soaked in hot water on Shabbos, and that is if let's say you want it to be dissolved, you want it to just sit there and dissolve in the hot water, you could do it because it was already cooked. Ein bishul acha bishul, there's no problem of cooking it again. It was already cooked, so you could soak it in warm water in Shabbos. However, b'chol shle bo b'chamim erev Shabbos, whatever was not placed into hot water from before Shabbos, for example, dried meat, where some people would eat it raw in times of necessity. So in regarding that type of food items, madichin oisa b'chamim b'Shabbos, you can wash it with hot water on Shabbos, and you're not going to say that that's going to be considered bishula as if you're cooking it. However, you're not allowed to soak it in the hot water on Shabbos, because that would be equivalent to cooking it on Shabbos, which is asr. However, the Mishnah says, although we said that something that was not cooked before Shabbos, you can wash it with hot water, the chutz min amaliyach hayashim, but there are two exceptions. Besides for aged salted fish, and that is we're talking about salted fish from the previous year, Vuculius hispanium, and Spanish mackerel, which is a type of a fish that they would eat it very salty. And the way they would do it is they would just wash it, not even soak it. They would just wash it with hot water. And therefore, even washing with hot water, you're not allowed to do regarding this aged fish and the Spanish mackerel. And the reason is, why are they so extreme? Because of the washing of hot water on these two types of fish are considered the completion of the melacha of these food items. In other words, they become prepared and fit to be eaten with just washing it with hot water. And therefore, that is the equivalent of bishul for these items. In other words, they get cooked for their own purposes very quickly. And just washing it with hot water will consider it cooked, gemar malacha. And therefore, for these two cases, you're not allowed to even wash it with hot water. However, everything else, even if it didn't come into hot water from before Shabbos, you're allowed to wash it with hot water on Shabbos, because that's not going to cook it on Shabbos. Now the Gemara goes to elaborate on Mishnah, regarding specifically the first case. Question is, kegoin mai, like, for example, what? In other words, what would be bo b'chamin, what would come into hot water, in other words, being cooked from before Shabbos, that then you would go ahead and bring it back and soak it in warm water on Shabbos, which we say you're allowed to, but who would ever do such a thing if it was already cooked from before Shabbos? What type of food item would you just let sit and soak in warm water on Shabbos? Some Rav Safra, says, kegoin turn the gul to the Rav Abba. That's, for example, like the hands of Rav Abba, where he would cook it and soak it for many days in hot water to let it just dissolve by itself. It just turned into this one big mush. And it would eat it, for it had this healthful refuah properties. And therefore, though it was ba'a from before Shabbos, now you could go ahead and do it on Shabbos, but that was the type of food that would just let this hen just sit there and would totally dissolve into this liquid. So the Gemara comments regarding this hen of Rav Abba that would just dissolve this chicken into the soup. Vam Rav Safra, says, Zim nechadek lois lahasim. One time I went there to Eretz Yisrael, to the where they ate the hen of Rav Abba. V'ochlim, and I ate from this hen of Rav Abba, which was totally dissolved. V'ila Rav Abba de ashken chamra bartlos etarfi. And if not for the fact that Rav Abba gave us wine that was 3 years old, in other words, very strong and potent wine, it's nasty, I would have been forced to just vomit it all up because I was so revolted by it. It tasted so disgusting to me that I would have thrown it up if not for the fact that I had that wine to keep me stable. Similarly, the Gemara says in reverse, Rabbi Yochanan Rayek Mikutech de Bavloi. Rabbi Yochanan would spit whenever he would think, when he would remind himself about this Kutech HaBavli, which was a popular dip in Bavel, because it was so disgusting and revolting to him. Whenever he thought about it, it would make him want to spit. So Amr Rav Yisrael said regarding that, what Rabbi Yochanan would do, that it was so harsh in his eyes that the people from Bavel were so disgusting on the people of Eretz Yisrael, and that he would just spit when he thought about the food that they would eat in Bavel. So Rabbi Yisrael said, we also have what to spit about the people in Eretz Yisrael. V'lerik anan mitan the gold to Rabba, we could spit about the hand of Rabba, which the people in Eretz Yisrael, they eat, and that's revolting, that's pretty disgusting too. However, Oidi said even more, this kutach, this dip, that popular dip that we have in Bavel, is not so disgusting so much by the rest of people in Eretz Yisrael. Although Rabbi Yochanan would become so revolted by it, I just want you to know that most of the people don't necessarily feel like he does, even though it was in Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara says, Amr Rav Gaza said, Zim nechad deklois lahasam. One time I went there to Eretz Yisrael, va'avadis kutach de Bavloi, and I was so used to what I ate back home, so I made over there this kutach ha-bavli, and they asked from me to have some of this kutach, kol b'richem ha-rava, all the sick people in Eretz Yisrael, they were begging me for some more of this yummy, delicious dip that I made that I have from back home in Bavel. So therefore, you know, although Rabbi Yochanan gets a little revolted by it, don't think that everyone in Eretz Yisrael actually feels like that. It's not so disgusting, it's just possibly a minority opinion. However, this explanation was brought in because of this idea of something that's already heated up from before Shabbos can be soaked in hot water on Shabbos. That was brought in to show, because where do we have such a case? That's like the hen of Rav Abba. So then the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Koshaloi bo b'chamen v'chula, whatever did not come into hot water from before Shabbos, in other words, it was not cooked, then you can wash, you can't soak it in hot water on Shabbos, because that's going to cook it, but you can wash it with hot water. However, we said, but you cannot do that by the Spanish mackerel, because the Spanish mackerel, even just washing with hot water, will be considered bishul. To which the Gemara asks, Hidiach, if you did wash this kulyas, this Spanish mackerel, my, what is halacha? What is the punishment? What is the issa that was done? So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Hidiach, Chayiv Chatzis. If you washed it, you're liable for Chayiv Chatzis. That is actually a bishul deraisa, even just washing it with hot water. So I'm a Mabri Dravina, Afananam Tanina. This is actually what we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, you're allowed to wash anything with hot water, even if it wasn't cooked from before Shabbos, chutz mi maliach yoshem kul yisizbon, except for an aged or salted fish, meaning from last year, it was salted for a year, the kul yisizbon, and the Spanish mackerel, shadachasin zuhi gemar malachtin, that we said that the washing it is the completion of the malach, of preparing it to be eaten, shmamina, obviously it's telling us this idea that that's considered the bishel for the Spanish mackerel, and therefore, again, you're going to be liable for chiv chatas if you actually do that. So now, on this topic of this kulyas, he is spun regarding the Spanish mackerel, the Gemara brings in segues into a story regarding some agadic teachings that will relate back to the kulyas spun to the Spanish mackerel. Yosef Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Reb Asi Kamed Reb Yechanan, there were two Tamid Chacham that were sitting in front of Reb Yechanan, but Yosef Reb Yechanan coming out, Reb Yechanan was dozing off. So the two Tamid Chacham were speaking amongst each other while Rabbi Yechim was dozing. So one asked the other, why is it that the birds in Bavel are so fatty, so juicy, and more than the ones in Eretz Yisrael? So it says, don't be so quick to say that in Bavel things are better. And as we find by his responses, that he kept on showing how those from Eretz Yisrael are really better, although his questions were sounding like those in Bavel are better. So it says, go to the desert of Aza, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to show you fatter birds than those in Bavel. So don't think that the ones in Bavel are fatter. Then he asked him another question. Why is it that the Yamim Tovim in Bavel are such happy times, so much more than the people in Eretz Yisrael? People get so excited in Yamim Tovim, seems greater in Bavel. So he answered him, don't think that's because it's greater. Because they're poor, and that is the whole year they have nothing to be happy about. They have no food, they have nothing to drink, they have no calmness from the work that they do. And therefore, on Yom Tov, they have all this pent-up energy. They're so sad the whole year, that's why on Yom Tov they're happy, but don't think it's because they're happier people. Then he asked him, why is it that the Talmudic scholars in Bavel are so well dressed, they're so adorned, and they wear such nice clothing, again, sounding like they have a certain greater honor, distinction than those in Eretz Yisrael? So he responded to him, because they're not true Talmudic scholars. They're not that great to honor them like the Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, that they're honored because of their Torah. They don't have to get honored because of their clothing. However, those in Bavel, they're not so great, so they have to distinguish themselves by their clothing to say that I'm Chashiv, and that's how they get honored. That's why they dress more honorable than the Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, but don't think because they're greater. Then they asked him, why is it that the idol worshippers, that they have this impurity to them? So he said, because they eat vermin and these crawly little bugs and these animals, these rodents, so therefore that gives them impurity in their body. So Ittehu Rabbi Yochanan woke up and he heard this conversation as he was dozing off. Amalahu Dardaki says, Klein the Kindlech, he says, you know, little boys, you didn't reach the stage of Svara, of giving a good explanation. Didn't I always tell you this pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Amr lachochma achisiat"? Tell wisdom that you're my sister. Now, what does that really mean? So he explained to his students, it means "Embaru lacha hadaber ka achisra." It means if the idea that you're talking about is clear to you like your sister, she has surlach, that she's forbidden to you. You know that she's your sister. You can't have a relation, an intimate relation with her. Imrehu, then you say something of wisdom. Vimlav loitamrein, if you don't know, don't say it. In other words, the things that you're saying are not correct answers. So they said to him, so you should tell us some of these things. We had a whole bunch of these questions and we're not saying smart things. Tell us what the true answers are. Why is it that the birds in Bavel are fatty? So he said, because the birds did not go into exile like those of Eretz Yisrael that went into exile. Like it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Sha'an and Moyev min Urav, that Moyev has been calm from its youth, B'shoiket hu el shamar, and he's restful on his lees, and that is Moyev has always stayed where she has always been. U'v'goyle lo'holach, and she did not go into exile. And the end of the pasuk ends off, Al-kein omed taimer boy, that's why the flavor of Moyev is still there. And that is, you see this idea, that those that go into exile, it takes away, detracts a little bit of its taste, and of its fatness, and that's why, although Mayev, for example, did not lose its taste, but the birds of Eretz Yisrael, which went into Galus, therefore it lost some of its fattiness, and that's why those in Bavel still have more than those in Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara says, how do we know that even the animals, and which in this case the birds, went into exile, and not only the Jewish people? The time like learned the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says for 52 years, and that's from the time of when they went in the times of Tzidkiyah, that they went into exile in the destruction of Yerushalayim, until they were remembered in the days of Kairish, and then some of them went up already to start the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash, which was 18 years before the completion of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which was at the end of the 70 years in the second year of Daryavish, as the Gemara Megillah Daf Yad Alf Amid Beis says. So 52 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, for those 52 years, Lo Over Ish Bihuda, no man set foot in Judea and Eretz Yisrael. Shnemah, like it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Al Haharim Esa Bechi V'Nehi V'Goymer, that on the mountains I lift up my cry and wailing, Me'oif HaShemayim V'Ad Behema, from the birds in the skies till the animals, Nadadu Holchu, they wandered, they went, that is, everyone was gone, even the animals, even the birds. Now, how do we know it was 52 years? Because it says Va'ad Behema, until Behema, which means they were in exile until Behema. Behema Begematria, Chamshin Betartin Havir. If you take the numerical value of the word Behema, based being 2, Hay being 5, Mem being 40, and Hay being 5, you get to a numerical value of 52. That is the Oif HaShemayim, the birds in the sky, which in our case we're saying went into exile, was Ad. HaBehema was up until 52 years. They all went to exile. Again, that's why it lost its fatness. So Amar Yaakov and Yochanan. However, Kulon Chazru, all of them, all the animals and the birds and even the fish, they all came back to Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Mikul Yisrael. And that's why we brought in this halachic statement for what we're discussing, except the Spanish mackerel. That is, they all came back, as we said, Ad Behema. And that would say that from now on, that is, they came back. Except for the Spanish mackerel, as the Gemara explains, the Amar Rav, Hani Midari de Bavel, regarding these slopes in Bavel, Mahadri Mayala Ein Etim. It brings the water back to Ein Etim. That is, there are these slopes in Bavel that bring the water that's poured into them back into Ein Etim, which is the high place in Eretz Yisrael. And that is, from that spring, it brings water to the place where the Kohen Gadol used to tovel in Yom Kippur, which was prepared on top of the wall of the Azara, on top of the Shar HaMayim. As the Gemara in Seder Yuman Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph explains that Ein Etim, this spring, was higher than the ground of the Azara, 23 amas higher. Now, how did it get back over there? Because in Paras, in the Euphrates, there are these springs and these ladders, so to speak, that go up from the ground, and through these ladders, the waters come back up to Eretz Yisrael, and then it goes back into these springs. And the fish would come; they came back through these ladders from Galus back at Eretz Yisrael, which is easier for them to come than to come through the Euphrates, than through the Paras themselves. So that is how they all came back. They came back through these springs that would come back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Bahai, however, the Kulyasi Spanian, the Spanish mackerel, Kivin de Leshar Shadre, since the spine of this Spanish mackerel is not strong, doesn't have a strong spine, Le Matzi Solik, it couldn't come back up, although all the other fish was able to swim back up through these ladders. However, it still needed some energy, and the Spanish mackerel don't have that spine, therefore they're the only ones that couldn't come back, and they stayed in Galus, they never came back to Eretz Yisrael. However, again, this answers the question, why the birds in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel and Galus were fatter than the birds in Eretz Yisrael, because the birds in Eretz Yisrael went to Galus, and that's why, again, why we brought this in, because of the Kulyas Hispani, which we were discussing, that they never came back to Eretz Yisrael. The second question that they had, why is it that the holidays, the Yom Tovim in Bavel, they rejoice more than the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Yochanan says the real answer is because the people in Bavel were never part of the curse that was cursed on the holidays in Eretz Yisrael. The chesed, like it says, the pasuk in Hoshea, v'hishbati kol misoisa, and I stopped all its rejoicing. This is a reference to the holidays in Eretz Yisrael, to the rejoicing in Eretz Yisrael, because this is talking about the Golas. Chaga, it's holidays. Chadsha, it's new months. V'shabbat, it's Shabbos. V'chomayad, and all its Yom Tovim. V'chsivin, as we find the pasuk in Yeshaya, again talking to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, that chadsheichim moyadeichim sadenavshi, your new months and your holidays, I despise it with my soul. That's what Hashem is telling the Jewish people. And therefore, again, there's a certain curse on the Yom Tovim in the Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they're not as happy and rejoiceful as Yom Tovim in Galus. it was a burden for me, Yom Tov. You think you're celebrating with me? It's something that it's burdensome. To which the Gemara asked, "My hayu lai l'terech? What does this pasuk in Yeshayah mean when it says Hashem is telling the Jewish people it's a burden for me?" So Amar Blazer, Blazer says, "Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu." Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Lo dayin li yisrael shachayin lefanim. Isn't it enough that the Jewish people sin in front of me? But they make it difficult for me. They make it burdensome for me that I have to figure out now which harmful, which difficult decree I'm going to have to bring onto them." And that is generally HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah is keneged midah. However, the Jewish people sin. That's how Hashem has to respond in kind. Hashem is saying, not only do they sin, now they make it difficult for me. I have to say, okay, you did this thing wrong. Now you did it this way wrong. I have to continue bringing different types of gezeiros. And that is why, again, the Yom Tovim and Eretz Yisrael were never the same as those in Galus, because Hashem hates it, so to speak, he despises it, and therefore had this curse. As the Gemara brings, that we find the same idea, that Amar Yitzchak, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel shle basa b'leshas l'tzipari. We don't find not one Yom Tov that there was never troops that came to Tzipari, one of the locations in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the same idea, that there's always something bad that happens, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a klala for the Yom Tovim and Eretz Yisrael. Moreover, Amar B'chanina, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel shle bo l'tferi. You never have one Yom Tov, not Pesach, not Sukkot, not Shavuos, that it didn't come to Tveria, another location there at Yisrael, either Agman, a governor, a Kamtan, a ruler, a Balzamar, or an official. In other words, they came to plunder and to put their yoke on the people there at Yisrael, but not because their intention was to be mevatel the Jewish people from the rejoicing of their Yom Tov. It's just the curse that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, that Hashem has many messengers, and that causes that, again, the Yom Tovim there at Yisrael will never be as happy as the Yom Tovim in Chutz Laretz, in the places which are not in Eretz Yisrael. Now, regarding the question, now why are the Talmudic scholars in Bavel so finely dressed and distinguished than other people? It's not like you said that it's because they're not such great Talmid Chacham and that's why they have to dress themselves and distinguish themselves. Rather, it's because Bavel is not really their place. In other words, they came from Galus, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Now, someone that exiles and goes to a place, a foreign place, he doesn't know, people don't know him, so then he distinguishes himself with his clothing to show that he's chashav, as the Gemara brings, the Amri Inche, as people want to say, b'masa, in my city, I don't have to make myself honorable, rather, shamai, my name, people recognize me by my name, they'll know me for who I am, so I don't have to make myself distinguished by my clothing. B'loi masa, when I'm not in my city, then my honor will hinge upon my clothing. If people see, oh, I'm a Rav, I'm a doctor, they'll see me by my garments, then they'll make me honorable. That is why the Talmid Chacham and Bavel have to dress like that, because no one knows them. They're in a foreign place, whereas the Talmid Chacham and Eretz Yisrael, they are always where they were, and people know them by their name. They don't have to distinguish themselves by their clothing. The Gemara brings up Raya from a pasuk in Yeshayah that, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, that the reason why Talmid Chacham and Eretz in Bavel were distinguished with the clothing is not because they were lesser stature Talmid Chacham than those in Eretz Yisrael, rather because no one knew of them. As he brings a pasuk in Yeshayah that says Haboyim, that those that come Yashrish Yaakov, they take root of Yaakov, Yatzitz Ufarach Yisrael, that they will bud and blossom from Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, which Tanya Rav Yosef, says to explain this pasuk, Ilu Talmid Chacham Shebebavel. This is a reference to the Talmudic scholars in Bavel, Sha'isin Tzitzin Ufrach in the Torah, that they make buds and blossoms for the Torah. And that is, the interpretation is that those of Yaakov that come, Haboim Yaakov, they come to Bavel, and that is Yashrish, they take root in where they're coming, and Yatz Zufarach, they make buds and blossoms for Torah. In other words, to the contrary, they are great Talmid Chacham. And there's a proof to Rabbi Yechanan that the reason why they are Mitzuyan, that they are adorned and they dress more distinguished, is not because they're not B'nai Torah, like Rabbi Asi had said. Rather, it's because this is not their place, and therefore they have to distinguish themselves with their clothing, in contrast to the Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, who are where they always were. Now, regarding the question Rabbi Yechanan said, why is it that the idol worshippers are impure? The reason is because they never stood by Har Sinai, which only the Jewish people did. And that is Shebeshah, that at the moment, and we continue on to top of Kof Mem Vav and Aleph, Shebanochesh Alchav, at the time when the serpent, the primal snake, that when he cohabited with Chava, and that is when he gave Chava the idea to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he also was intimate with her. As the pasuk says in Bereishis, Paragimel, she said, Hanochash Hishi Ani. that the snake deceived me. Now, hishiani, the shin, could be a sin, that the snake hishiani, which a lashon of nisuin, that he married me, that is, that he cohabited with her. So at the time when he came onto her, hitl bazuama, he injected into her this tumah, this impurity. And that came to every person that came out of that union from Chava that was had that impurity in her. Yisrael sha'amdu al Har Sinai paskezu masan. But the Jewish people that stood by Har Sinai, then this impurity was removed from them. But the idol worshippers that never stood at Har Sinai, that impurity was never removed from them. They still have it in them from the first mother of the world. So Amalei Rav Acha, Berei de Rav Rav Ashi, but Gerimai, what are you going to say about converts? That they never stood at Har Sinai, they only came to the Jewish people at a later point in time. Now, we know that to be part of the Jewish people, they have to be pure. When did they have their impurity removed from them? So Amalei, Avagav de Inu Lahav, although they in their physical bodies weren't there, Mazlayu Haver, their spiritual component, their mazl was there at Har Sinai. And whoever stood at Har Sinai became Kaddish and Tar, and they were healed from any type of blemish, and even the blind and the lame that were there in the Jewish people as the Sifrises, they were all healed, and therefore even the converts were there in the spiritual sense at the Har Sinai, and therefore that impurity was removed from them. So although they come from a physical body of the idol worshippers, still they had that removed from them, and therefore they become part of the Jewish people. The Chassid, like it says the Pasuk in the Varm, it says, Es asher yeshnoi pai imonu oimerayim, that both for those that are here today, standing with us here today, lifnei Hashem lekein, in front of Hashem our God, ve'es asher einenu pai begam, and those that are not here today, which is a reference to those being makabel the Torah, with reference to the game, that although they're not here in the physical sense, they are still being makabel the Torah, they're here in the spiritual sense, and therefore that's how they had their zuama, their impurity removed. However, the Gemara does say, upliga, that this statement that we said, that their zuama, their impurity, was not removed until Har Sinai, and that's why only the Jewish people had it removed, but idol worshippers still have their zuama, this really argues the Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, it argues on the statement of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. The Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, he said, Ad shloisha doiris lepaska zuama mabesenu. It took three generations of our forefathers, to remove that zuama, that impurity that was caused by the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That is Avram Hoyled as Yishmael. We see that Avram had a bad child with the child of Yishmael. So there was still some impurity that he was trying to get rid of, that Yishmael took the Zuama and then Yitzchak was the good part. Yitzchak Hoyled as Esav. Yitzchak also still had some of that impurity that he had to get rid of it by having a child of Esav, and then the purity went to Yaakov. However, finally in the third generation, Yaakov Hoyled Yudbe Shvatim Shlohoye Ben Shumdaifi. Yaakov had 12 Shvatim that didn't have any problems with it, any impurity. That is, it took three generations to finally get to the purity. This is at odds with the statement that we just mentioned before that said that there was impurity all the way down to Har Sinai. Only by Har Sinai was it finally removed. That argues on that statement that says that it was already removed by Yaakov and 12 Shvatim, that already from that point on, we already didn't have the impurity. But the idea is still the idol worshippers, they don't come either from Har Sinai or from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, from Yaakov and the 12 Shvatim, and therefore they have that ritual impurity, they have that zuama that the Jewish people don't have.